welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned in to the broadcast again, and we're taking up our study here in John chapter 15, John 15, verse number 16. The Lord says here, and he says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." This verse starts out. The Lord has just dealt with about how he says he's laid down his life for them. Okay, no greater love can be manifested than that. He says, "You're not servants, but you're my friends." Okay, you're my friends if you do what I command you to do. He said, "I don't call you servants because I have told you what the Father has told me. Everything I've heard from him, I've relayed to you." And that's not the way it is with a servant. A servant doesn't know what his Lord or Master is doing. But a friend does. And the Lord says, "I don't call you servants, but I call you my friends because I've told you the will of my Father." And so now he says in verse number 16, "You have not chosen me." Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Just as it is earlier in this chapter, the Lord Jesus says, branches don't abide by themselves, but they must abide in the vine. The vine bears the branches, and our Lord Jesus indeed bears us. He says here to his apostles, he says here to his church that he built there of the people that he saved in the day of his ministry, not the family, but this is beyond the family of God. All those that are saved do indeed enter into the family of God, and those that are saved are the children of God. He births us again. And again, in like parallel, like we saw in John chapter 3, what did you have to do with your birth? What did you have to do with your choosing your parents? What did you have to do with the choice of your name? You had nothing. You and I had nothing to do with our birth, with our name, with our parents, with the time that we were born. We had nothing to do with it. So it is being saved. And they say, "Well, Brother Jim, how can that be? How can it be then? If folks are saved by the Lord Jesus, what am I to do? How can I find out if I'm one that the Lord would save? The Lord has not commanded you to determine whether you're one that he will save. The Lord has commanded you to receive Christ, to repent of your sins and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. That's the command of the Lord. That's what Jesus came preaching in the beginning of his ministry. You can read it right there in Mark chapter 1. After John was put in prison, the Lord Jesus came preaching, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." But nevertheless, it is so that it is Jesus that saves. It is Jesus that sends the Spirit. It is Jesus that sends the preacher or his child with a witness of the Word of God to sinners. And the Lord uses that to illuminate, to enlighten, to stir, and to move within, and to save sinners at hand. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And he goes on to say here to his disciples, "and ordained you," this is my plan, this is my purpose, "that you should go and bring forth fruit." That's my design. I've ordained it. It tells us in the book of Ephesians that we are the Lord's workmanship, and we are... it is determined by the Lord that we should walk in good works, that we should manifest fruit, that we should walk in him. If we bear fruit, we give testimony that we are the Lord's. If we hear him, believe him, trust him, follow him in his word, it's shown to the world that we have been saved by the Lord. We don't do what we do to be saved. We do what we do in obedience to our Savior because he has saved our soul. He said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Now, this is very interesting. Fruit remaining. What is he talking about in that? And we think about the vine. We think about a fruit tree. We think about garden plants that bear fruit. And we enjoy the fruit. We enjoy the vegetables. We enjoy the yield that comes from those. That's what we think of. And that's the analogy that's given here. How is it that that fruit is to remain? Well, see, our fruit is not, as the children of God, our fruit is manifested by our obedience, by our witness to others, the conversation of our life being a witness to others, what we think, what we do, what we say, what we tell about Jesus Christ and his power to save, how the Lord has saved us. And that he has commanded us to go and tell others that through repentance and faith, the Lord will save them. And so we bear that fruit, and our fruit remains in those that the Lord uses us to tell others about Christ. That the Lord uses us to be a witness to others of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the goodness of the Lord, that we are his friends, that we love our Lord, that we've been changed by our Lord, that we've been helped and so rescued by our Lord. He's ordained that we bring fruit and that our fruit should remain. How's your fruit? How is your fruit? Do you claim the name of Jesus Christ? Do you say that he has saved your soul? Do you believe that he died on the cross of Calvary for you? Then what is it that you do in obedience of him? Do you read his word? Do you know what it says? Do you follow him in it? Have you obeyed him in submitting yourself for scriptural baptism? The Lord Jesus Christ gave us that example and pattern. And then by doing so, by submitting yourself to baptism, join one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches, one of his churches, to serve the Lord there, to meet together to worship him, to serve him in the ministries of the church, and to give glory to the Lord in his church. What about your fruit? The Lord Jesus Christ said, and over in Matthew, there in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, folks will be known by their fruit. That's how we'll know if somebody's true or somebody's a fake, is by their fruit. Verse 16, I have not chosen, you have not chosen, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And again, this is not a name it and claim it, a gospel or name it and claim it doctrine in the scripture, but it is just a fact. If we, as we walk as the Lord's children and the Lord's children in this church, as we walk close with the Lord, we obey him and what he says, we will be more, more turned and with the word of God filling us, we will be more bent more towards asking things according to the will of the Lord. Our prayers will match that which is the will of the Lord, not for self, but for the Lord and for his sakes, for his sake. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, a witness that carries on even past the life of the saint, that whosoever that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. And so here the Lord says, and as the apostle writing to the church at Corinth there in Greece, charity is the greatest of those things that remain, faith, hope, and charity. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, my command is that you love one another. You love one another. You love me. You obey me. You seek out my commandments. You follow me and obey me in them. You bear fruit to the honor and glory and praise of the Father. And it all be bathed and all be wrapped up in love. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Because without love, the work and the pursuit, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us, It's all empty. It's all vain. Verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And yes, it is true. The world hated Jesus when he was here, and the world plainly hates Jesus now. Oh yes, society and people, governments, nations will give lip service to the Lord. But he is despised and rejected of men. That's what the scripture says. And this isn't a complex that our Lord has. It's just the truth. Why? Because of his, in his perfectness and his perfection, he shines the light of truth upon our wicked ways and deeds and shows that we are guilty. We're sinners. And when we go a sinful way, naturally, and the world hates him, natural man hates him, the prince and the power of the air, Satan, the prince of this world and this earth at this time, that God has appointed him as such. He hates the Lord and hates the way of the Lord. Mankind naturally hates the Lord. It's just true. The world hate you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus was first in line to be hated by the world, and so as his disciples, if we're hated, it should be no marvel. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. Oh, be careful about the world speaking well completely of you. Beware when all men speak well of you, the scripture says. If you were of the world would love you. But because ye are not of the world, speaking to his disciples, but I have chosen you out of the world, and there it is, the Lord has chosen us, therefore the world hateth you. Why? We're the Lord's. The same righteousness that is in him has been imputed unto us. The Spirit of God living within, Jesus living within, makes it such that being old, wicked, wayward sinners in and of ourselves, again, as I mentioned last time, we're a trophy of grace to the Lord and a witness of him. We reflect the Lord. We reflect him. And as it says in 1 John, if I hate my brother who's in the world that I can see, who God has saved, the love of the Father is not in me. Because why? He's the representation of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have been saved, saints, are not God himself, but the Lord is living within, and they are a manifestation of God unto us, unto one another. He said, if you were of the world would love you. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore you're hated by the world. It's that way. Now, what should that cause us to do? Hate the world back? No. We hate the wickedness and sin of the world. The sinners without Christ, we are to love them enough to carry the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into them, that they too may be saved. Remember, we were just like them before the Lord saved us. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.